This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your time is over. You got Kyrie for me.
Happy to be back. I've had
enough. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah.
I mean, he was on his hands, leaned over, and the body language is like, I don't care what you think. He doesn't care what I'm saying right now at all. Yeah.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, YES Network Brooklyn Nets analyst Richard Jefferson, San Diego Union Tribune Chargers reporter Kevin Acey, Bills defensive back Josh Norman. Coming up, Kerry Champion and Jamel Hill. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We had Josh Norman last hour and Kevin Acey of the Buffalo Bills and the San Diego Union Tribune, respectively. Kevin getting the scoop of the day that Phillip Rivers called him last night. As Kevin said at the top of hour number two of our program, Phillip Rivers called him last night. Kevin's a longtime employee of the San Diego Union Tribune, so far back that he was a beat writer when Phillip was being drafted by the Chargers in 04. And now that he's retired with Eli, Big Ben is the last member of that 04 quarterback class standing, and he's expected to keep playing next year. But anyway, Kevin said Phillip called him last night, and they've kept it friendly, he said, over the years. And Kevin said that Phillip called him last night, and the first 5 minutes was Phillip wanting to know about the Padres and all their maneuvers, their offseason maneuvers, getting ready to try and win in the National League Western Division. And then decided to say, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm just decided I am going to retire, and here's a scoop. And they had a nice chit-chat. And so that was the top story of the day in the National Football League. Josh Norman has no idea if Patrick Mahomes is going to be the quarterback he's defending against this weekend. Said he didn't care. Didn't matter who they run out there. That was a great conversation in hour two. Richard Jefferson was supposed to be on in hour number one, but he couldn't make it today. He's going to be on tomorrow.
Nice.
And he, at the same time that we were planning on having him today, which is our first guest up 20 minutes into the program, he said it'll be even better of a chat because he's going to bring it. He's calling the Nets and Cavs tonight, so there'll be lots to talk about this evening. Awesome. As Kyrie Irving's making his debut with the Nets with Harden. As we all know, he's played for the Nets, but not with Harden and not with Durant yet. So those are all top stories in the NFL and NBA worlds, and there's a lot going on in baseball as well. Before we get to Chris Brockman, just want to let you know, stay tuned. Kerry Champion and Jamel Hill, a great conversation. I Zoomed with them yesterday. Their two cents on Kyrie and Harden and Durant and all together. That's coming up shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your calls as well before we get out of Dodge here on a busy Wednesday. But for the moment, Chris Brockman with a news update on our show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever,
it's Chris Brockman. And y'all might think because we're on NBC Sports on Peacock on such a big news day that we would get Tom Brokaw to do his usual introduction of Chris Brockman. It's really the draw of Chris as a newsman.
Thank you. As
you'll soon hear with all the information you're about to impart.
By the way, the new president and I have something in common.
Syracuse University.
Syracuse University.
That's it.
All right, saw this morning, guys, and kind of made me raise an eyebrow. We've been talking a lot about Deshaun Watson and if he is going to be traded, where he might end up if he does. Well, Richard Sherman kind of has the same thought process as you when it comes to this. Roll tape.
If I was Deshaun, I'd get out of there as quickly as possible. I'd head to New York. First thing, smoking
the Jets.
How beautiful
would that be?
It would be the most beautiful. Decent offensive line. They'd have to find threats. They'd have to find some offensive weapons. But I think there would be a lot more people excited to be there. You know, I think the free agency market this year is going to be oversaturated because of the salary cap. But that's what I would do. I would be out of there on the first thing smoking.
First thing smoking. Richard Sherman on the Collinsworth Sherman podcast with our friends at Pro Football Focus, PFF.
Oh, baby, your thoughts.
Well, here's my thoughts. First of all, great first name. We not only share that, but I went to the Stanford of the Midwest, or he went to the Michigan of the West. He's a smart man, is what I'm saying. He's a wise, smart man who knows his football, loves Robert Saleh, understands what Saleh's going to be selling there. He's bought it himself, what Saleh sells. He understands the coaching staff that's being arranged there. He understands all that. Oh, yeah. Why not go to New York, become the king of New York, get yourself there? A number one, king of the hill, top of the heap, all that good stuff. Smart man, Richard Sherman. And the Jets have the capital. Get it. I'm serious, man. They've got the draft capital.
They do. They have a lot of picks.
They can send multiple first-round picks to the Texans and not even mortgage their future. Two this year, two next year. And if you want, they could even throw in, just screw it, we'll throw in our one in 2023 as well. Definitely. So three first-rounders, and let's go. We'll give you three firsts for Deshaun Watson. You don't have any firsts. You got nothing this year. You got nothing in the second round either. You want to flip him a two this year too, so we'll restore your two picks, top two picks this year, and those, and then you hold on to Sam Darnold, and then you flip him somewhere else and say, who wants Sam? Who wants Sam? And you can actually replenish some of the picks you give up.
Yeah,
go for it.
Rich, you're giving away information for free that RES Consulting could be charging well-earned American dollars for. I'm just saying.
We haven't formulated RES Consulting yet, but I'm also using this platform to let everyone know what they can get once we do formulate this.
Smart man, Mitch.
But also, the Texans hired Corn Ferry and told Jed Hughes, beat it. We're going to hire Nick Caserio in the first place, creating the big problem he's got with Deshaun Watson anyway. So that's part of the reason why I want to get in business. If owners are just going to give money to people and not even take their advice, I'll raise my hand and say, let's do it.
Here.
What else you got over there, Chris?
Some injury news. Obviously, we're all keeping an eye on Patrick Mahomes and him going through the concussion protocol. He's going to get in a, quote, light practice today. No symptoms, but does remain in concussion protocol. The Chiefs tend to ramp up or plan to ramp up his reps as the week goes on. Of course, also dealing with a foot injury, but keeping an eye on his concussion and when he's going to be out of protocol.
The rampant rumors is that the independent neurosurgeon lives in Kansas City.
Of course he does.
So maybe the neighbor just knock on the door and just say, hey, doc.
Can you pop over?
What do you say? What do you say about, how's Pat doing?
What if the doctor was from...
Could you see to it?
What if the doctor was from northern New York?
But there's no question that this guy, Western New York,
Western,
by the way.
York.
There's no question that this guy, nothing pisses off Buffalo people quite like saying they're upstate New York drives them crazy.
That's Albany.
What else you got over there, Chris?
We mentioned earlier the Lions gave a 6-year deal to Dan Campbell. He's going to be the new
Wow, that is like...
That is a lot of years.
6 years.
If that is in fact the case, has that been confirmed? Or I mean, because Dan Patrick's not out here to pry about the terms that have been undisclosed. One of my favorite Dan Patrick lines, terms not disclosed, and they haven't pried it open yet. I just botched it. But
No official from the Lions. The Lions did tweet out that he's the new head coach.
But why six years is a very long time to tie yourself to a coach that's never done it before except as an interim.
Yeah.
You really got to believe in him. 6 years, it's like, is he somebody say, hey, if you don't give me 6 years, I'm not coming and I'm gonna take the other jobs that I haven't interviewed for. I mean, like that, I hope it works out.
Crazy.
Because that's a lot of dead money if he doesn't work out there.
And the Nick Saban rehab tour continues. Doug Marrone is going to be the Alabama offensive line coach.
Okay, that's great. Is he named his OC yet?
Not yet. It's still Bill O'Brien? Yeah, we're still waiting on that Bill O'Brien official. And some late night baseball from last night. George Springer, big name on the free agent market, going to go to Toronto. 6 years, $150 million.
They're ready to go.
Whack.
Apparently they're circling around Michael Brantley too.
Yeah.
To add it to all the young kids of all the great superstars of yesteryear,
Vlad Jr.,
Don Bichette's kid, right? Yeah. Dante's kid's there,
and Craig Biggio's son.
They're all there, and now you add Springer to it. Oh man,
I didn't like that too much.
Of course not.
Yeah, neither did I.
You're too busy looking for a new general manager.
Yeah,
David Wright.
I know you asked him here. I don't know. I mean, Sandy Alderson's basically like, we got it.
Yeah, he said he's
like, they're not going to hire a new general manager. What a horrible story that is. What a horrible, well, it's not a story. The fact.
It happened.
Just dreadful.
Yeah.
Positively awful.
All right, that's the news.
That's the news.
That's the news.
That's the news. Okay, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I had quite a conversation with Carrie Champion and Jemele Hill. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll play it for you. It's dynamite, and these two ladies certainly are. Carrie and Jemele won't stick to sports on Vice TV, and soon on The Rich Eisen Show here on Peacock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
John always listens to his truck. So when his brakes start talking, he goes to AutoZone, where a helpful AutoZoner gets him the right parts. If John has time to put them in, he borrows a kit with Lonatool. And if he doesn't, he gets a free shop referral. No hassles, just help. Everything you need, nothing you don't.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Deposit required for Lonatool. Restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'll admit that.
How do you know that?
So I notice everything here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Carrie Champion and Jemele Hill have a television show every Thursday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I mean, their guests are remarkable, to say the least, because they talk about more than just sports. On Vice TV's, Carrie and Jemele won't talk about sports. Anyway, here's Carrie and Jemele on the Rich Eisen Show. I Zoomed with them yesterday.
Okay, this is the first time that I've had both of these ladies on the show together. They were both in studio separately, but now they're part of a terrific talk show together on Vice TV's Carrie and Jemele Won't Stick to Sports. 11:30 p.m. on Thursday nights, Jemele Hill and Carrie Champion here on the show. How are you, ladies? Good to see you.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Yes, definitely.
I'd say this is the coolest SportsCenter anchor reunion I've been part of in quite some time.
I agree. I didn't even register right away. I got to tell you, working with Jemele has been a breath of fresh air. We often look at each other and say, I can't believe they're paying us to do this, but it's good.
Nevertheless, there it is, the direct deposit to prove that it actually happened. But I feel very comfortable in saying, of the three of us, I had the shortest tenure on SportsCenter. So.
Now, come on now. But you were, both of you were on during the day, or you in the early evening, Jemele. I had many a moon where I would look at Stuart Scott and we would look at the watch and we go, really? Is that really? Is it 3:15 in the morning? Like, literally, that's. If I had to peg my out time on SportsCenter, like whenever we didn't punch a clock, obviously, but it would be somewhere around 3 a.m. That's literally when I did my job. So
you're better than us, because I would have been in bed by then. The noon shift for me was great. I know, Jemele, you like the 6 as well, but the noon was great. Mm-hmm. I had my whole day afterwards. It's interesting because, Rich, you were a part of just the legacy of what SportsCenter was. You built it. You, Stu, there were some, Dan, Keith, there were so many people there, just legends. And then when we came on, there was a new version. Definitely when Jay came on, it was a new version of SportsCenter. But it was a new version of SportsCenter, and I always felt like, you know, the powers that be were trying to live the years that you all had created. You know what I mean? They were trying to recreate that without moving ahead.
Well, it's nice of you to say, Carrie, but I'll be honest with you. When Stuart and I were doing it, and I think I've had conversations with both of you separately on this very subject, but when Stuart and I were doing SportsCenter together, we, you know, and it's nice of you to say that we were helping create it, you know, We didn't know if it was working at the time, to be honest with you. You know, we were like, I think this is working. And I was sitting there, you know, somewhat concerned about whether it was working. And Stewart didn't care. You know, he, honestly, like he was like, I think it's working and I know what I'm doing is going to work and I'm going to keep doing it. Like literally, that's the way it felt when we were doing SportsCenter together.
Well, it's funny, the more as you talk to more SportsCenter alums, and certainly I bet on some level the people who are currently doing SportsCenter would say this, is that we all have some version of the same story on our time at SportsCenter of, you know, going through that sometimes volatile and tumultuous phase where you're trying to do something different or put your own stamp on SportsCenter, and it's not necessarily appreciated by everybody, and how daily, you know, you wind up in fights and, you know, just kind of fighting, not necessarily for your survival, but fighting for your peace of mind, like on a daily basis. And I think I said this to Carrie when we started during the Vice show, or as we got deeper into it, right, is I think about the show that we do now on Vice, and I think about what I was doing at ESPN, and I honestly don't know how I did it every day. I was like, I can't believe I used to do this 5 days a week. This is crazy. Right. Human beings were not built for this.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so SportsCenter itself is much different.
But you grew
much
up
different.
Jay grew up paper, right? So for us TV kids who start off in the small markets and one-man bands, like that to me makes sense. Like that was, you did, of course, that's just what you did. You didn't have a choice. And even starting on First Take, that was just 2 hours of TV and you just sit, you know what I mean? Every day. And so you felt like that's just what it was. I think what's interesting is that this new version of what it was, SportsCenter had a hard time dealing with how social media told the news before. You know, they wanted to live with the highlights. I'm like, well, we already saw that. So you always have to be able to tell somebody something different outside of the highlight. What's the other new element to it? This is news, not olds. And so I think for me, when I came on, that was the real tough transition, because everything is available now, streaming, online. Like if you're not in the streaming online game, you're not in the game. You know what I mean? In terms of sports, you're just not, because they want it immediate and they want it quickly.
No doubt. I mean, literally, you and I, but Jamel Hill and Carrie Champion here on the Rich Eisen Show, you and I are talking on a Zoom to be recorded, to be put on a streamer. You know, like that's literally what we're doing now, right? And it's interesting that you said what you said, Carrie, because I remember when, you know, when 9/11 hit and we were on SportsCenter and the bottom line that CNN used, that scrawl to put all of the, you know, to put all of the headlines on there, SportsCenter decided to use it. And so here I am on SportsCenter delivering a lead-in, setting up to the highlight, and the final score appeared on the bottom line right across my chest. And I'm like, well, that sucks. Like, what are we what are we doing? And yeah, like it turned the news into old, you know, to use your phrase right there. I was literally the only SportsCenter anchor who complained about it. And they're like, you know, whatever. And then I'd be honest with you, I just didn't want to continue doing a SportsCenter where it was about the why what happened, as opposed to the what happened. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, like add a perspective as to what's going on. Because the way that it would be set up would be, we had to have one analyst who took one point of view and another analyst who took the other point of view and bash them together. And it's just something I just didn't want to, I just wasn't into it that much anymore, to be honest with you. But I'll be honest, I would have stayed, like if things were set up in a certain way. But it changed. There's no question about it. It changed when we were there. Mm-hmm.
Well,
we both Jamel and I are quiet. You would have stayed. Okay.
No. I'll be honest. No, I'm being very honest with you here. There were certain parts of the toy chest I wanted to play, you know, in, you know, with the expanding world. It didn't work out, you know, and but things just it's just a show I just didn't want to do much anymore. To be right
you up. Know, here's what's it's interesting, Rich, that you say that. And I respect you for saying that, because again, I know you don't think so, but it was created for people who wanted to just talk sports 24 hours a day. What's going on? Evaluate it, break it down, do it, find it every which way, every person we can interview, everything. However, what has happened, which is really truly how our show came about, is that there are parts of sports that you can no longer ignore if you're a journalist. You cannot, your spirit doesn't sit right. For me, there was a time, I guess, like from not, you know, 20,
2016 to 2018 where we were covering, you know, everything, you know, on and off the court, on and off the field, because they did coexist. It coexisted in how these athletes lived their lives and how people respected them or didn't respect them, namely Colin Kaepernick. And when we started to veer away from that, as so many people want you to do, as a journalist, just that it's at the core of what we do, I felt like we weren't asking the really honest questions or telling the true story or all of the story. And that is when I got uncomfortable. That's when I felt like I was flipping burgers. That's where I was like, okay, I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not doing what I love. And a part of what I love is, yes, sports, but it's also a part to tell the whole story.
Well, I
and
mean,
I think, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. No, I don't mean to interrupt you right there. And that, I guess that's what, you know, what's so intriguing about your current show. Who came up with the title? Where, let's just hit the nail right on the head. Like, let's just title the show right on the head that you won't stick to sports. Like, who? How did that one come about?
Well, it was funny because, like, we went through a couple of titles. And in fact, the initial press release is a completely different title that has nothing to do with what you see.
Right.
And as we started to workshop some names, the intention was to have a stick to sports segment. That is what was supposed to be initially worked into the show. But the more, you know, we batted it around, the more the powers that be, the decision makers, they did too. They really liked the title. And for us, it became a rallying cry because both of us, while ESPN, and certainly since we've left there, went through a period where we were receiving a lot of criticism because we did not want to stick to sports. And like Carrie said, people have to remember, like, we're career journalists, is that if there are other things that are colliding with sports, and you know, to some degree, not to some, but people were being so intellectually lazy about the stick to sports thing. Like, neither one of us were ever on SportsCenter breaking down immigration law. We never did that. Like, we weren't breaking down healthcare reform. We were not, you know what I'm saying? Like, we weren't out there talking about tax codes. Like, no, it was never like that. We were talking about the messy intersections between sports, race, politics, culture, gender, which are apparent and all around us, right? That's part of the story of sports. And I just got really tired, and I know Carrie did too. It was just mentally exhausting to argue with people about whether or not we should be discussing very relevant issues in sports, because there were some people who were uncomfortable. It's funny when we have other messy intersections, mostly things that don't have to do with gender or race, people are fine with those, right? Like, if we, you know, I know it's a different type of issue that has obviously touched a lot of people, but nobody tells anybody to stick to sports if we're talking about cancer or certain diseases, or like, nobody ever says it then, right?
But they remember, Jay, I always say this, I hate to interrupt, if Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for cancer, he'd be an American hero. If he said, oh, I'm kneeling for cancer, or what, name another issue.
To be honest, the other part of that is, if Colin Kaepernick had hit a woman, he'd be playing in the NFL, like, or been accused of hitting a woman, he'd be in the NFL, because that is a corrective behavior that they feel like they can fix. They can get you to stop doing that, right? They can't get you to stop believing police brutality and racism and systemic oppression exists. That tube is out of the toothpaste. So I got tired of dealing with a intellectually dishonest element, both in the building at ESPN and outside of it, that said that we shouldn't touch what is so plain and obvious in everybody's face. And it's like, if you lose the ability to tell the truth as a journalist, then why are you a journalist? Then it doesn't really make any sense. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think us choosing the title Stick to Sports was about giving a middle finger to the people who kept telling us that.
Jamel Hill. And I'm sorry, I'm resetting here for the radio audience that will be watching Carrie Champion and Jamel Hill here on The Rich Eisen Show. Go ahead, Carrie. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you either. I laugh at Jamel because this is such a, it's so interesting, the world we live in. We can't, both can be true. I can be a journalist and live to tell you highlights and tell you about, you know, the game last week. And while I really was disappointed to see Pat Mahomes go out because I really wanted to see more of a fight, I can do that. But then I can also tell you about something else that's happening in the world of sports. And that's that messy intersection. I don't remember when we weren't allowed to do both. I often think of the very first show I started on, which is First Take. They were allowed to do it. And I think for ESPN, as long as you have one show addressing it, it's on the menu. And then the other shows can't address it. And I understand that too. I understand that philosophy because at the end of the day, it's business, right? That's the bottom line. Like ratings, business, make money.
Right.
And I'm okay with all of those things. I, for me, you know, very much different than my colleague who will tweet every 5 seconds and let everybody have it. For me, I just wanted to make sure that I was committing a couple of acts of journalism a show, right? I just wanted to commit a few acts of journalism and I would have been fine with that. I think that the problem is that we try to hide. Now though, you see, Rich, even if you watch, times have changed. They have political guests on there all the time. I turn around, somebody's mm-hmm. talking politics and I'm like, wait, hold on. That wasn't allowed when we
No, were I know that, but it's not just ESPN, obviously, here too. Like there are many sports outlets now that have, you know, one would say if we're in a country where we're talking about right and left, that have the right conservative point of view talking to the, you know, I guess by the time this airs afternoon on the former president of the United States, you know, so Trump's been on Barstool, Trump's been on OutKick, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, and so that's just, for me, a sign that stick to sports is dead. I mean, the number of sports athletes that came out and said for Biden or Trump, I lost track on both sides and it's dead. It's totally dead. But there is a line here where people want to tune in to watch sports and they're like, well, I don't want to get sports with politics. Well, guess what? Like, and the NBA is talking about stopping play. This is part of sports, that this is something that needs to be discussed. If this is on the minds of athletes, this is something that needs to be discussed. And as you said, Jamel, you didn't lead SportsCenter talking about it wasn't Policy Center, you know? I mean, so you know, was it maybe because they couldn't find a sponsor, but you know, it wasn't an issue, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
I do. The Budweiser hot seat sponsored.
That would be something, you know.
Political.
I know. I mean, definitely the National Security Council is definitely a hot seat.
Right.
But anyway, well, long story short, is that there is a way that I think that this can be discussed and not denigrated as ruining somebody's sports experience, because
well,
you know
we also have to be clear though, Rich, about when people say stick to sports, we also have to be honest about what they really mean. They don't want everybody to stick to sports. They only want some people, as in Black people, to stick to sports. I mean, generally speaking, is that, you know, like with one of the complaints that we hear is that, you know, it's when certain athletes say something and about certain issues. You know, we're talking about very thorny, emotional issues in this country, racism, police brutality. These are not easy subjects. And so a lot of the times that would be the case, because I'm guessing, you know, you mentioned, you know, Barstool and OutKick doing the Trump interview. I didn't hear a whole lot of complaints about them sticking to sports. Because who they were interviewing.
No, I understand. I get it a lot. You know, I spoke over the summer, you know, when Jacob Blake was murdered. I spoke out over the summer when George Floyd was murdered. I mean, yep. I had the, you know, a platform and I felt it was necessary for me to use it, not only because I felt it and I believed it, but I want my children to, you know, when they go on YouTube, when they're old enough, to see if they ever wonder what did dad have to say about this when the world was falling apart, that they can actually see that I did something and I spoke about it. But, you know, I'm a
And that was
guy.
About the who though, Rich, that was about the who, because you were right. Speaking up, you know, as a white man on behalf of Black people. So you gonna catch these strays as well. Okay. So
I think that overall, I agree with you, Jamel, in terms of, yeah, it probably is more about the issues of people speaking about the Black community. But I think people in general who don't want to hear about sports and don't want to hear about it, period. They don't care what Brett Favre thinks. They don't care who, you know, I really truly believe all around there's an overall fatigue from people who just want to sit and listen and watch sports. But the problem is that's not the world we live in. live in. We're in a pandemic. If we can't talk about the messy issues and the repercussions and the domino effect of a pandemic and what has happened and what has left our country in the state that it's in, it touches everything. I feel like it's just really, it's so ridiculous to think that these athletes who are playing, risking their lives on the collegiate level, on the professional level, won't feel what is happening, won't feel that mental lockdown. I was talking to a player the other day for the Golden State Warriors. He told me he was depressed. He was like, playing in this pandemic is depressing. Now, do we talk about that? Is that stick to sports? Are we allowed to talk about how depressed some of these athletes are because of what they're dealing with, but yet they're out here entertaining us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
No, I'm absolutely. Mental health is something that's considerable and something we should talk about. Do we, before I let you ladies go, do you want to talk sports? I mean,
yes, let's talk some sports.
All right. Well, then this is the topic I kind of want to, toss to in one here, because the city of Houston, Harden essentially either spoke or ate his departure into existence. And now he's in a spectacular spot. And I'm wondering if Deshaun Watson, the front row seat of all this, is thinking the same exact thing in a sport where usually somebody who's got a nine-figure contract can't speak something like that into existence. And I'm wondering what you think of Harden's departure and what's going on with Watson and how you think that might play out. You want to take that first?
Is it just me, or does James Harden already look slimmer? I swear to God, it feels like he looks slimmer.
Honestly, like the JH13 system, whatever that is, like if he can lose 30 pounds in like 48 hours, or maybe it's
the spite. I need it.
Maybe it's the spite. I don't know what that is, but
I
you're
need
right.
It.
He looks slimmer. Maybe it's being in a black uniform. I don't know what it is, but I swear he lost 10 pounds the moment he showed up as a Brooklyn Net. Look, we know in the NBA it's a players' league, and despite the monstrosity of a contract that James Harden had, at the end of the day, somebody who doesn't want to be there is not going to do your franchise any good. But with football, as you mentioned, Rich, the dynamics are different. The players don't really have a lot of leverage. But in this case, if you're Houston, what are your options? Deshaun Watson is in his mid-20s. He is a special talent. He is an MVP caliber quarterback, which those are difficult to find. All he asked through was to be consulted, right? He had in his mind, he wanted Eric Bieniemy. That was the guy that he felt like could take this team to the levels that they have not reached. It is the height of insulting that they would not interview Eric Bieniemy, who, by the way, regardless of Deshaun Watson even said anything, they should have been interviewing anyway, right? And the disrespectful nature, I think, of what they did sometimes, and I'm not even saying any names, but I've been in those work situations before, that once you show them, once you get shown who they are, it's very hard to unremember.
What situation?
That.
What situation, Jay?
I'm just saying, I've been in those situations before.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes
bad.
When they show you
Rich,
it's hard.
Rich put on his glasses. I don't have time for this nonsense, ladies.
No,
I'm here to talk sports with you.
It is hard
you.
To understand.
I'm teasing
that.
You.
I'm a 51-year-old man, Carrie. Come on.
So if you're Houston, either you hire Eric Bieniemy or you lose Deshaun Watson. And you have to ask yourself, what's it worth it to you? Is he the type of talent, and I think that he is, where it is worth it for you to make him happy, because you do not want to be looking for another one of those kind of quarterbacks all over again over something that was as simple as consideration.
I think, Jay, you're right on with that. But here's what's even more interesting. I think a little, if we go another level, that organization has made some questionable decisions, and we've watched. Something else is going on there. So I don't think it was just this moment in which Deshaun said he's upset. I think it was a series of things that he watched unfold. And he thought, well, why no consideration? Do you guys really want to win? Is someone here to help me? Who really runs that team? Is it really his team? You would think it would be. I don't know. I don't think everything thing that we see on the outside is what it is, and that's normally the case. But I agree with you. He is, as his collegiate coach called him, he does have a Michael Jordan-esque quality about him that I believe needs to be protected and loved and nurtured. And I'm taking my talents to South Beach if you're not taking care of me. I'm not saying he's going to Miami, but, you know, throw back to LeBron. But I'm taking my talents elsewhere if I can't be respected. And he has the leverage. How many times in your career, Rich, how many times in your career, Jamel, do you have leverage? And when you do have leverage, it's a small window. And then you get the best that you want. As far as James Harden, I'm not for sure if I believe that will work out. The Laker fan in me is speaking, but also the journalist in me is telling you those
this
personalities.
This is the Laker fan talking. This ain't the journalist.
Although Rich, those personalities. Talk to me about those personalities. Do we see them all coexisting harmoniously?
Well, you're, you know, and I guess to just finish up this conversation here, because I don't want to keep you. We this has been a great conversation, but there's a third man in Kyrie, you know, and I guess I should be like this when I have this conversation. This is how he showed up, you know, and
right.
I'm kind of like, what gives? Like, you know, in the same way that you're talking about how the Texans need to cherish something or someone so generationally talented, and also Deshaun, what beats in here, not just as a champion, but as a human, is just such a rare combination that you need to make sure that somebody like that stays on your team. I mean, what sort of situation? Kyrie's won with LeBron, and now, like, I don't know what it is going on with him, but he's with Harden and he's with Durant now, and this is an incredible situation, and it's all set up by the glory that the NBA exists in a pandemic. We're so lucky that we get to talk about it. I can't imagine playing it. Can you suss out what is going on between us? I don't know him. I've never met him. I just can't compute. Anybody?
I did a Kyrie this past, I think it was the summer. God, Mondays and Sundays feel the same. So let's just say the last 4 to 6 months. I think it was sooner than that. And it was an event where it was him and Common, and we were talking about supporting Black women more and all the social justice issues happening in the country.
Right.
Kyrie's extremely thoughtful. He's very smart. But he's also, I think he's somebody, and I say this with no inside knowledge, Carrie brought it up a minute ago about players who are struggling a little bit more playing under these circumstances than we think that they are. I think this is something that we're seeing with him, because remember, he didn't want to go to the bubble.
Right.
He was ready to shut it down. He did not think the players should be playing. And I think that these issues that have happened in our country, I'm not saying this is 100% the case,
sure,
but I do think that on a deeper level, seeing everything that happened in this country in 2020, I would not be surprised if, in having, you know, some introspective conversations with himself, if he wondered about what he was really doing with his life, mm-hmm, and about what his purpose was. I think, mm-hmm, he strikes me as somebody looking for purpose. And I think he wondered, is basketball my purpose? You know, I mean, he brought the family of George Floyd a home. He started, mm-hmm, a fund for WNBA players who decided to opt out in playing in the wobble. I mean, he is doing so much on the social and political realm. I did wonder when he took that little time out, is he thinking, like, is basketball really where I want to be right now? Again, I say this with no insider knowledge,
right,
but this is the impression that I got from him after we did that, mm-hmm, event together, where he could not have been more lovely, but he's a thinker. He is a thinker.
Yeah, I was going to say he's very mercurial and he stays in his head a lot. Mm-hmm. And you always, what happens is we forget, we watch the maturation process, Rich. These kids come in, they didn't socialize the way that we probably think they should. They didn't have this experience. And then we're watching them grow into whomever they think they are. So here he is, you know, I remember him just like when they won the chip, when he was with the Cavs and LeBron and they won a chip. And, you know, I see beer bottles and ladies and this, that, and the third. Now he's, you know, taking sage and running it around, you know, the garden. So I'm like, he's been all over, like he's growing. You're right on. And I think he's just trying to figure it out. I think he's very expressive and we're watching it happen. And he's very comfortable being expressive. A lot of people aren't that comfortable. You know what I mean? They wait till they retire to let you see who they are. And he's figuring that out. And he's like, y'all have to see this happen as I'm watching it happen as well.
Well, this has been awesome. Everyone needs to watch these ladies go at it on Vice on Thursday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time with Carrie and Jamel Won't Stick to Sports. Thanks for doing this. We should do this more often. I honestly
wish I'd love it.
Scratch the surface.
Yeah.
You're tough to pin down. You are both very tough to pin down. You got a lot going on.
No, we would do it anytime for you. It was so much fun. We got to do it when we talk about stew, because, you know, we all got our favorite stew stories we like to share.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I just, you know, want to describe for the radio audience, I've got my library background. It's a very nice curtain you've got back there. Very nice situation, Carrie. And well, with the Emmy Award. Nice, humble brag.
Yes.
I like it.
Not really humble. Just want you to know, back there in my background for a reason, because I want you to ask me about it.
No, and Carrie Champion, check him out on Vice TV on Thursday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time.
It's a fun chat with them. Let's take a break and we'll come back, answer some phone calls and get out of Dodge, set up the rest of the week, all that good stuff right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available Blind Spot View Monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. What if I told you you can take you and your family and your friends to the ballpark with such low price tickets, you can invest more in buying food and drinks, merchandise, and easily, on top of all of it, get a larger group to come with you? That's where Game Time Tickets comes in, the official ticketing partner of The Rich Eisen Show. Browse through that Game Time app and automatically you'll see features that become your favorites. Last minute tickets, zone deals. You see views from all seats in the venue, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection. And the best part about it is you see your entire total up front, so no surprise fees hit you at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code EISEN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I do mean it. I worked at
that. That wasn't a fake.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204 Rich. Tom Brady's talking right now on Championship Wednesday. I think we created it.
We had to.
I don't know. I don't know if we had to, but we came on the air on NFL Network and then Championship Sunday on 2004. I don't know if we did it right out of the gate or whatever, but, you know,
they would talk, but we made
everything.
It an event.
Everything is content, you know, and that's why the NFL Network's created. Part of the reason why, you know, to leverage cable contracts and things of that nature and make some money for the owners on the side. Every team chipped in $5 million, I think, as a launching, all 32 teams, just to put it in a kitty and launch the NFL Network. I've never confirmed that figure, but that's what we heard. But at any rate, long story short is all the players would talk before Championship Sunday, and we set it up where each team had all four guys. There was like four players and a coach talked, and it would be set up where the one team from the AFC Championship game had this hour, and then another one had that hour, and it would be 4 hours long of just
of 15 minutes of media availability each the day the Wednesday before, and they're doing it right now. I mean, you sat in the control room and I sat on the set and I would just anchor that whole thing. Now look at us. We're sitting here and I'm doing this show and you're sitting where you're sitting. And, you know, I'll be honest. You know, I know the name of the show is the Rich Eisen Show. That means there's an I in Rich and I in Eisen. And you know how I feel about today's date in our world, in this country. And the finally, today, we saw a peaceful transferring of power in this country. And you know what this inauguration means to me personally, obviously. And I always shoot you straight here on the show. I'm coming to work wondering, okay, we're on the air. Our first hour is Biden's talking. How many people are going to be out there watching? Just wondering if we're going to be having our rating of whatever it is, and fewer eyeballs and whatever. And so anyway, but then we do the show.
We do the show.
Little did I know that I would be struggling to keep the eyeballs and attention of somebody on the set during the show.
Oh.
I'm watching the inauguration.
If we could have put our money in a kitty and bet who would be the one that would be busted for not paying attention.
I mean,
right on brand.
It'd be like a minus 10,000.
So you know, I look at my Twitter feed at the minute that we go to break because I just want to know, am I missing anything? Sports, news, whatever. I mean, the Bernie Sanders sitting in the cold meme is just going all over the place. And I do want to – I'll just front load everybody in our conversation after the show when we're talking about tomorrow's show. I want to put Bernie in a whole bunch of sports.
All of them.
Oh, he's going everywhere.
Where's Bernie?
Where was Bernie?
There he is behind Jim Craig, you know. I mean, so
– do you believe in miracles?
You know, yes. Bernie sitting by himself in the cold in a folding chair is just, you know, it's a mood. So I turn the computer and I look at it and – truly, as I say, we're going to break. This man has to like let the radio audience know we're gone, and like you have
control
duties
system.
To do yes. When I'm throwing a break here.
I don't miss him.
Don, put it up, would you please? There
I don't
it is.
Miss him.
This is a string of the two tweets. The Beast with the 46 plate on it, fantastic. And then you hashtagged inauguration 2021 and inauguration day to make sure that your tweet is seen by anybody who searches these hashtags.
Yeah, I mean,
and then you just tacked on. You know, an actual zoom in of the plate. Did you do photoshopping as we're throwing a break?
I screenshot.
You screenshotted it right there, and then
boom,
cut it and put it on your.
Yes.
Why are you proud to say this?
I love this stuff. I wanted to be a Secret Service agent when I was a cop.
Is this answering?
Filibustering though, like just answer the question.
I mean, it's.
I mean,
I get into this stuff. I love this. Like,
so again, do I. But I know I've got to host a Rich Eisen show.
I can multitask. I didn't miss the break. Come on.
How should I handle this? I'll let the group.
I mean, look,
chime in here.
I'll chime in and I'll throw myself
I'm
under
my
the
own
bus.
Country here.
You busted me yesterday. With the tweet, so
did you get caught?
You know, I mean,
yeah, he caught.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you got caught.
Yeah, so
your job is to be on social media and to see if there is anything trending that we should talk about.
I mean, that is true. So I rescind me turning myself in.
No, I mean, you're in like month five or six of being an on air every day. Got to keep your head on a swivel. You never know when I'm going to come to you, member of this program.
Mm-hmm, true.
This content factory we call the Rich Eisen Show. This guy over there,
yeah, he's a day one.
Is now, I mean, zooming in on the license plate. And so, did you have to like screen grab it and crop it? Did you crop?
Of course, did you crop?
Oh
yeah, it's a screen grab crop. Boom.
Like, don't be proud.
By the way, Don Bowie, we could see you scrolling. That's Doug the Pug on the top.
Right,
we could see
Doug
that.
Doug the Pug. I don't. I mean,
be careful.
I have no
sometimes
problem.
I know who you follow. Sometimes
No. I've cleaned a lot of that up.
Yeah, but well, sometimes people
sometimes
post
he's got
stuff.
The glorious ladies of wrestling up there. Something like that.
No.
Oh my!
Gorgeous ladies.
What did I say?
Glorious.
Glorious.
Whatever.
I used to say glorious.
At least I'm showing my spots here.
Look, before me, you never would have spoke of wrestling, so
that's true.
I appreciate it.
Look at us. We're a well-rounded crew.
look at us.
Look at us.
That's like that Paul Rudd meme. Have you seen it when Paul Rudd's talking to Paul Rudd?
Yeah.
And he's like, look at us.
This is the Rich
Eisen
Show. All right, whatever. Thank you. We've got tomorrow's show. Richard Jefferson will join us. Big-time basketball game tonight, right?
Yeah.
Nets and Cavs.
Yeah. Buddy.
We'll be watching that.
Sure.
Tay Diggs will be on tomorrow's program. He's playing a coach in the CW show called All-American, high school coach. And Kyle Brent, America's favorite comrade.
Bernie has commented on the outfit.
Whoa. What does he? What do you mean?
He's like, from Vermont. Being from Vermont, we're not so concerned about good fashion.
I mean, he's got a puffy coat and he's got mittens. He's got mittens.
Big old mittens. And
yeah, well, it looked like they were knitted mittens. You know what I mean? Fantastic. Good finish, everybody.
No, no problem.
All right. We'll take you to Brother from Another right here on Peacock. If you're on Peacock, stay right where you are. On the radio, we will see you on Thursday's edition of The Rich Eisen Show.